Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 101. Just like Fallout.
We have rolled over.
Oh wait, no, episode 101, aka episode 5. In binary.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Oh boy, we're already going down that road.
Yeah.
Anyway, our topics this month include... Jones fondles a Nintendo Switch.
With its permission.
Are you
right,
sure?
Right. It was like your third date, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I bought it dinner. Well, lunch, but, you know.
Right. So. Oh, is that like It's Just Lunch, the dating service they talk about in airplane magazines?
Oh, yeah.
You actually read those things?
Yeah, well, I'd look at the pictures.
What else are you going to do for when you're on planes all the time?
Yeah. It's so like, boy.
They just like put picture books then for Ben.
St. Louis. Yeah, it's always funny when they try to like pimp out some town as being super cool, and it's like, yeah, sure.
It's like, no thanks.
Okay, so Jones and the Nintendo Switch, the next topic. Marvel movies, the Taco Bell of filmmaking. how do you say it, Parker? There's four ingredients and they just mush them together
in different ways. Everything tastes the same.
Hey, what is it? Guardians of the Galaxy 5 is coming out next week.
Three, two, just
two. They've only made two of them.
Wait, so is the one coming out next week? Is the second one then?
Yes. I can't say I'm really. I really want to see it. I just don't care.
I think they already greenlit the third one, even though the second one hasn't even come out yet.
Well, they know it'll print money, so... I mean, I'm sure I'll see it. I liked the first one, but yeah, I'm not chomping at the bit to see it by any means.
And you know, it's going to be like... character, Groot's not even, alive anymore.
No, he's a baby. He's baby Groot.
Yeah, he's still around.
Yeah, but...
No, he's cute!
And things grow. So he will return to his old form, you know.
Wasn't Things Grow the tagline for our squirrel movie that never got made? Or is it... I don't even remember.
I think
now.
It was the squirrel movie because there was going to be some sort of like, you know, I don't know, bounty hunter. Not really bounty hunter, but like big game hunter guy and or whatever. And they're going to be like, Things Grow. So, yeah. The film of films.
And the third topic is Battlefront 2 from DICE, another Star Wars game.
Yeah, at this point, I think DICE just needs to, like, you know, make a movie. If you watch that trailer.
I didn't actually watch it.
They probably didn't even make the trailer. It was probably farmed out to...
Farmville.
Farmville. Company.
A bunch of single moms, like, on Facebook, make a trailer for DICE. Hey, that's who plays Farmville, right?
I guess. I don't know.
Do people still play that game? I don't know.
I think all those cow-clicking games just fell through the floor once mobile took off.
Yeah, because now everybody plays, like, Clash of Clans and, like, Game of War and...
Yeah. Is Zynga even around? Let me look up Zynga. I'm sure it is.
I think they like fell through the floor shortly after they got bought.
I don't know. I mean, there was a time when they were hiring everybody. Everyone was going there. But it always seems like there's something that's going to, you know, like PC gaming is over. Single player games are over. Mobile is the future. There's always VR is the future. There's always these beliefs
in the
that
pan.
People have. Yeah. They never work. They never turn out. People keep playing console games. They keep buying single player games. And PC gaming keeps growing. Oh, yes. Joining us once again, I guess now you're a permanent member, is Parker Dillman.
Hey, everyone.
Also here.
Surprise. Surprise.
Today also here is my birthday. Today I turn number one.
Are you the one who still hasn't seen that movie?
I haven't seen it, but I can quote parts of it. Because you guys said the quote so much around me over the years. Like, happy birthday, asshole.
So, I remember the theater I used to work, that movie was in the theater, and we would, and they had those letters, you know, those letters that would stick into the felt things.
Oh yeah,
like the white plastic letters.
Yep.
Yeah, so when Assassins was there, we kept on moving the letters around to turn it into ass sins to piss off the manager.
Probably the most entertainment value that movie delivered.
It's all right. It's directed by Richard Donner.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one where Antonio Banderas says, "A woman, it's not the same as killing a man. You have to pull the trigger a different way."
And Julianne Moore is in that, right? Because isn't she the one that they're supposed to kill or whatever? And
yeah, they're both contracted to kill her, and then
I'm sure Stallone decides to like save her for some reason. And
yep, it's a '90s movie, so it's because she's a computer hacker, of course.
Oh, I thought she was a doctor or something. So all right,
she was a doctor. She was a doctor in The Fugitive.
That was one of her first roles. Yeah.
So I was looking it up, and Indiana Jones 10, or whatever they're on, has been pushed back to 2020, which means Harrison Ford will be 77 when they film it. Isn't that kind of ridiculous?
Lucky numbers, though, at least.
Speaking of other ridiculous things, did you see that they announced the Avatar sequel dates?
Well, yeah, they just ran away from the Star Wars movies.
Does anyone care about the sequel to that movie now?
China will.
Well, it's crazy.
Because China's going to go see anything. But, it's like. I could see it two years after Avatar.
It'll make money.
Avatar 2 is December 18th of 2020. So 3.5 years away still.
So basically,
Star Wars. It's going to be a decade after the first movie.
Yeah, they went past Episode 9, is what they did.
Yep.
Because they want to be the big blockbuster movie, why?
Long ago, Titanic first figured this out. It's like, if you release a big movie at Christmas, and if it's any good or if people like it, it'll play with basically no competition throughout January and February. Although that's changed anymore now, too. Like, they actually release respectable movies in those months. So that's why Star Wars squats on Christmas, because you get...
Avatar did the same thing. And,
yep. Yeah. You release it a week before Christmas, so you have the first weekend, which is huge, Christmas weekend, and then you get New Year's weekend. That's why basically Avatar ran away from Star Wars.
Yep. But it was just interesting when I saw that. I'm like, Jesus, because it's 2020 for the second one, 2021 for the third one, then 2024 for the fourth, and then 2025 for the fifth one.
Wait, they're going to make 5 Avatar movies?
4 sequels at once.
Yeah.
That's my inner Jones right there.
Does anybody even remember who Sam Worthington is anymore?
I don't even think Sam Worthington remembers who Sam Worthington is. So Star Wars, there's a new Battlefront 2 game coming out. And didn't we all buy the first one in 2015?
I think it was the only one that actually played it for any appreciable amount of time.
Yeah, because we played it that one night, and I played it, Ben logged off at some point, and then we kept playing, and I think it was like 2 or 3 in the morning when I finally logged off, and I never played it again. So I think I got 5 or 6 hours out of it.
I think I've put at least 80 hours into that game. I've actually put more hours into that game than I have Battlefield 1.
Sorry, one other aside here with the movie release dates. On Box Office Mojo, it actually shows Episode 9 as being scheduled for May of 2019 right now.
It'll be Christmas.
They'll push it, I'm sure, but it's interesting that right now it's actually... They're probably locking it in there so they can move it and put a Marvel movie in that date.
Well, Episode 8 was supposed to be May of 2019.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out in a month.
Exactly, and that got pushed back to Christmas, so this one will get pushed back as well.
Yep.
I don't know, did you notice, Jones, it seemed like all the movies got released in March and April. I mean, what's even left to come out this summer? Like Wonder Woman and Apes and...
Yeah, Transformers.
Like 8 movie that's got like 8 adjectives describing what timeline the movie is in.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that was coming out this summer.
Yeah, all they need to do is toss in, like, origin story and begins, and then they're good.
Well, of course, you have to have Planet of the Apes in it. Otherwise, people don't understand. You know, so that's... I mean, remember, we live in a world where there's actually a movie called A Haunting in Connecticut 2, Ghosts of Georgia. That's a sequel to A Haunting in Connecticut.
Oh, God.
I'm not kidding. That's a real movie.
Wow. Yeah, Dale texted me the other day, you know, since he's married, has kids and all that, he has to, like, plan ahead. And so he was like, hey, what movies are you thinking you want to see this summer? And the only ones I could come up with that I'm really wanting to see are Wonder Woman and Dunkirk.
Oh, that movie's coming out.
So
I'll probably go see that.
Not to say I won't see some other things, but those are the only ones where I'm like, yes, I am seeing those for sure. So it's, yeah, kind of a thin summer, it seems like.
I was watching... Oh, it was a YouTube channel, and they were talking about why Guardians of the Galaxy is released a week earlier in other countries. And I guess it's because, like, in Europe, like, nobody goes to movies during the summer.
Oh.
And so that's why the summer movies get delayed, like, 3 or 4 months into the fall for Europe. But then, like, movies at the beginning of the summer, like Guardians of the Galaxy, get pushed up so they can watch them before they all go on holiday or whatever.
Oh.
I wonder if, America is becoming the same way, because... movies are making some mucho mega bucks in, like, Christmas and March.
Well, yeah.
Christmas has always been a big time for movies.
Well, and the thing that's changing now, like Ben kind of alluded to earlier, was the fact that, like, it used to be January and February were just, like, that's where you dumped, like, your shit that had been on
your
the
latest,
shelf.
Your latest just, Kate Beckinsale movie.
Or your latest, what's the comic?
Yeah, you just dump, like, guy. Junk there, where now it's, like, Adam, they're actually releasing stuff that they expect to, like, be successful. You know, like, the new John Wick got released in there, Deadpool came out in that time frame. Like, American Sniper was another one that kind of, I think, helped with that, too.
Yeah,
because that made a ton January. Of money.
Yeah,
in January and February. So,
you know, what's really funny is Adam Sandler movies come out in early in the year, February-ish.
Yeah.
Do they?
But,
yeah.
But it's just kind of getting interesting.
At least the one I looked up.
It's just interesting now because it's like there's really not a bad time of year to release a movie anymore. Like, the opportunity's there all the time.
Yeah, is there just enough people go to the movies now?
I don't know if it's that, but I think it's just, you know, for a long time, studios maybe just made assumptions that, like, nobody's going to go to movies during this time of year, so they wouldn't release anything, and then they started seeing, like, wait a minute, if there's something people actually want to see, they'll go to it in January and February.
And I mean,
so
even
now they're taking advantage of that.
Yeah, even as recently as, like, when Batman v Superman got pushed to March, it's like, really? That's a weird movie to release in March, and, you know, made good money.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
well, I think the other side of that coin, Jones, is that there's so many goddamn movies coming out that they had to put them somewhere.
That's true. That's probably more what it is. It's not that there's more people going. It's that there's more movies getting released, and they gotta like fit them somewhere. So yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Wow, we got really off topic from Battlefront.
Nothing to do with Battlefront 2, but
no, not at all.
I couldn't get into Battlefront. I might have played like 6 hours of it because I didn't think the gameplay was interesting. I don't care about Star Wars and. Ugh.
Well, it was just like a Battlefield reskin as Star Wars.
It didn't look
and not
really
a particularly good.
Good
one. Yeah, I mean it looked good, but I don't know. Like, did you play the old Battlefronts? Either of you?
I played the original Battlefront 2.
I did not.
Not the one that's going to be coming out this year.
And I mean, I loved those. And so, and I mean, I knew this wasn't going to be those, but it was disappointing, like, how far away from those it was.
And again, if they only had a single-player campaign that was, like, 10 hours long,
it would help.
I think that game would have sold gangbusters.
I think it sold pretty well anyway, didn't it?
Yeah, it sold really well.
But apparently Battlefront 2 will have a campaign.
Yeah, it's going to have a campaign, and it's going to span all of the eras, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Is Jar Jar Binks going to be in it?
I don't know about that, but
I mean, he might be an unlockable character. That'd be awesome.
But I think they'll have, you know, like Darth Maul and, you know, like stuff like that in there, and Clone Wars stuff I think will be in there. And because that's what was cool about, like, Battlefront 2 and stuff, you know, is it's like, you know, there were battle zones that were on, like, Naboo and Geonosis, and then there was also Hoth and, you know, all that. Like, they spanned everything. You had heroes from all the eras, and it was really cool. And they had the space battles, which they're going to have space battles in this new one, it sounds like. So,
well, they have space battles in Battlefront, the new Battlefront one.
Did they? I know, yeah, you could fly around in... Oh, in the expansions, okay.
Yeah, they had the Death Star expansion, whatever. Oh, that was okay. Pretty cool. But, like, if you watch that trailer, it's like, I don't want to play the game. I want to watch them... I want them to make a movie because it looks so good.
Well, aren't they too, like, what was the thing with it? I just lost my damn train of thought.
It's okay. That was the entire first 5 minutes of this episode.
Yeah. But it was... Yeah, I can't remember what the hell I was going to bring up, but oh well. So I'm interested. I remember back when they first announced Battlefront, like at, you know, E3 or whatever, like, and it was going to be DICE, and I think I, like, messaged you, Parker, and I was like,
yeah,
fuck yes, you know? Like, yeah. Finally, or whatever, you know? But then it came out, and... You know, it had over a decade of waiting from me, you know, so it was probably, like, doomed to be a disappointment no matter what they did, so.
Yeah, I think that's how Fallout 4 was for me.
Yeah, I was
that game came out, and I was just like, ugh. Though, saying that, another game that took forever to develop and came out, and I was completely fine with, is the Duke Nukem Forever. I actually liked that game. So
I know Ben said it was perfectly serviceable when he played.
I mean, there's definitely some parts of that game that are like, oh, this section of the map or whatever is definitely like 10 years old at this point because of how it looks. But it's like, it's a pretty good game if you get past the fact that, you know, and put it this way, if it didn't have as much like political and social baggage that game had,
yeah,
it would've been a perfectly fine game.
It was kind of dated, though.
Oh,
like,
yes.
The last third of the game took place just inside that dam.
Yeah.
That was kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I actually think they should bring Duke Nukem back. Like, they should bring him back, and it should be kind of, he should be like this anachronistic dinosaur of a character. You know, like, Duke Nukem, you don't fit in this world anymore. Shove it up your ass.
That's kind of how the beginning of Duke Nukem Forever starts, though. The president's like, you can't, you know, do this shit because it's not how the world works anymore. And Duke Nukem's like, fuck you, and then just kills all the aliens anyways.
Well, I thought of the thing with... Oh, sorry, go ahead. Since we're
I was going to say, if they did that, they should make it like in the 80s, you know, it should be like 80s throwback.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be cool. I did think of the thing with Battlefront 2. Like, didn't they say that they're not really going to lock content behind expansions and things like that? Like, it's going to be more like you buy heroes and stuff. I thought I heard something like that.
So, like, you buy like a hero from that era you get that era now?
But yeah, I think it was like, you know, because, like, you look at it, people like me and Ben, we bought Battlefront, and then they brought out expansions, and we didn't buy them. You know, so you're segmenting your player base like these games always do.
Yeah.
So I thought they were saying they were going to try to get away from that, and they're going to kind of go with, yeah, like if you want Darth Vader or something, you buy him. Which will probably piss people off too, but whatever.
I think it just goes back to the fact that games are too cheap. It's like...
Yeah, they've been 60 bucks since, what, 2005?
2005. It happened with the Xbox 360.
And Nintendo games were pretty commonly like $50, yep. And some were even more than that, depending on...
Star Fox 64 was 60 bucks.
Though there are Super Nintendo games that are like, what, $70 or $75?
I think Street Fighter 2 was $75 for Super Nintendo when I got it.
I think we've covered this before, but I mean...
So
basically, you've gone from $50 in 1990 to $60 in 2017. So only a 20% increase in 27 years, which is Oh God! Like
budgets have gone up significantly,
astronomically. So the games cost like 10 times what they used to, and the price has only gone up 20%, which is that's less than half the rate of inflation.
That's how you get companies like was it id Software? Is it id Software? Who made BioShock Infinite? Was it id?
No, that was Irrational. No, Irrational Games.
Yeah, where they make this awesome game and you know it's a hit and they go out of business.
I don't know if I'd call that game awesome.
Well, for the time, it was critically acclaimed, and it did really well for sales. And
but if you think about it, like I think they had a peak of 200 employees. You have like 200 employees, and you pay them like, oh, I don't know, $80,000.
That's on the low end.
And then you go 5 years, you're talking about like $80 million just on salaries of burn.
No. You have to basically double that because you have perks perks, benefits, taxes.
I know. I said it's the low end.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
the problem they had is they took too damn long to get that game out. That was the problem.
Yeah.
That's why it was a bit rushed at the end.
I mean, so it shouldn't have been. They worked on it for like what, 5 years or 6 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, that game was a letdown for me.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I enjoyed playing through it, but it's like, yeah, when you think back to what like the first one and even the second one were, it was not.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I played the first one at least 4 times through. The second one 2 times. I haven't picked up the third game yet. Second time.
I only played through Infinite 1 time, and
it was so cool. Like I was like, "Oh, look! I'm gonna add, more shots to my shotgun," and you'd actually see some gizmo attached to it. Like you'd see the weapons change visually as you upgraded them, and like the grenade launcher was clearly like a metal slide rule that had been bent back like a crossbow. And you go from that kind of creativity to just a bunch of stupid rifles and pistols and. They just turned it into Call of Duty. Like, all the creativity with the weapons was gone, and the plasmids weren't even that useful.
Yeah, exactly, because the whole point of the third game was you can use both at the same time, except that all of them are so... There's no inspiration behind them.
Well, you could use them both at the same time in Bioshock 2, which also was a better game than Infinite.
So is... Battlefront 2, a wait and see, or are you planning to pick it up?
I'll pick it up.
I know Ben doesn't really care.
I'll put it this
way.
It's got single player now, and I'm going to buy it just for that. So that will be that.
I'll have to see a bit more about it, but I'm interested at this point, which I wasn't expecting to be after the disappointment of the first one. So
well, I still really enjoy. I'm still playing Battlefield 1. Therefore, I'm not really. I don't know. I just like it's like
biggest meat grinder of all Battlefield games.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoy it. You know, it's got like real guns, dirt, tanks, boots, mud, sticks. Not space lasers.
Did I see that Call of Duty is going back to World War II?
Yeah, there's a trailer for it.
Yeah, I'm going to bet you the next Battlefield game will be Battlefield 1944. I guess is what number they'd be on
something.
Now. They made a 42, which was the first Battlefield game. And then they made a 43, which was on the PlayStation 3, if I remember correctly. And then, But I'll put it this way. I actually got a lot of enjoyment out of the Battlefield 1 single-player game. Like, all the different campaigns that they have for it. It's really good.
I don't think I played any of that.
The first one, which is the one with the tank, is that one is, in my opinion, the best one.
Are you talking about Battlefield?
Yeah, Battlefield 1 single player.
The
tank one's really good. The Arabian one I had really high hopes for, but it kind of goes bleh.
I was using this disc cleanup tool, like, visually shows you the space. Chris recommended it. What's that called? Like Win. Let me take a look. Winderstat. That's what it's called. And it shows you visually, like, oh, here's how much space.
How much space does Battlefield 1 takes?
Yeah. And something like 70% of it is the single player that you play through once. And the minority of the files.
I wonder if it's all the audio, custom audio for that.
I don't know. It's probably just. I like the airplane story. Yeah. Even though the airplane flight stuff is kind of crap, I like the parts where you're like behind enemy lines and they had spotlights and stuff.
Yeah.
So I like that one the best.
Well, Jones owns Battlefield 1. Just go ahead and play the single player. It's actually really good. It's a good way to waste about 5 hours of your life.
It's not as good as Titanfall 2 single player.
No, Titanfall 2 is really good.
I've got so many irons in the fire with games right now that I just, it'll never happen. So.
That's actually, it's really funny. Speaking of Titanfall, is Ben and I played the hell out of the first one. Like, I think we played that game for like 2 years straight.
We played it for a long time.
And I think we played one night of Titanfall 2.
Yeah, I don't know.
We actually had a really good time playing it. It's like, this is just as good as the first one. I had no idea why we didn't keep playing
it. I mean, I still have it installed, but I don't know.
I still have it installed. It's burning 60 gigs of my SSD.
I was able to clean up quite a bit of space of my SSD, so I'm okay. I think I had like tons of just gunky files, especially like from MPLAB X, because I did a clean install of it, and suddenly like something insane like 300 gigs materialized out of thin air. So, well, I'd be willing to play it again, Parker.
I'm just playing like World of Warcraft and whatever. So, and I dabbled in Destiny again a little bit, and
so I finished the Zelda game. I guess that's a good segue into the Switch. Jones touched one.
Yes.
He touched a Switch, and he liked it.
And I'm still here. I didn't burst into flames or anything. So,
like a vampire? Jones, you've now played a Switch.
Yeah, for maybe 5 minutes.
Did it change your life?
No.
Did you play with it on top of a building, like a rooftop like bar?
No, it was actually at my desk at work.
Did you randomly
show that on the commercials?
Did you walk up to a stranger at the airport and just sit right down next to her, and it totally wasn't creepy at all?
No, I should try that. I'll have to ask my coworker if I can borrow it, and I'll go try that. It's like I have to go prove something out here for a podcast. But yeah, one of my coworkers, he like pre-ordered it, basically ordered it. It was like the week, the thing that came out and all that. And it finally came in like Friday. So he brings it in at lunchtime. He had said he would bring it in and so I can see it and
did
all that.
Did you taste
so
the cartridge?
I did not. No. Should
yeah,
I
that
have?
Was actually the first thing I did.
I looked at it, and it looks just like a really, like, fucked up SD card. I mean, obviously it's proprietary, and it's, you know, a bit different form, but it's, like, similar size, you know, to the kind of micro SD.
Did you notice that there were loading times?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Oh, cartridges won't have loading times.
I don't know, I thought it looked pretty decent. Like, he got Zelda, of course, because that's the only thing anybody will buy for it.
I actually got it right here.
And I thought it looked pretty decent, like, you know, on the little screen and all that. And,
yeah.
I got to play with the, whatever, the faux controller thing, like the thing that you put the grips into.
The dog controller?
Yeah, and so it was a little smaller than, like, a 360 or Xbox One controller, but seemed like it was all right. You know, it's like you can make it work, and yeah, it just kind of pissed me off again, though, because I'm, like, sitting there, and I'm like, you know, the Zelda game, it seems kind of cool. It's like, if that was on the Xbox or the PlayStation, I would buy it. I know we harp on this, like, every time, but I had the same reaction again. I'm like, I'm not going to spend $300 to play this one game, you know, and buy another piece of hardware. It irritated me more than anything.
Yeah. So I finish that game, Zelda, finally.
Yeah.
Worst 3D Zelda ever.
That means I'll probably like it, because I don't like any of the 3D Zelda games.
I don't know. It's just, I think it's the open, they went way too far on the open world. And sure, it's really cool. It's just, the story isn't there. And so you get to the end, and I actually did all the main quests, so everything was, it wasn't like I missed anything. And it's just kind of like, you know, eh.
Yeah, so, yeah.
It was like almost every single ending to an open world game ends that kind of like, oh, is that it kind of thing?
Yeah, like kind of a what do I do now
type thing. Yeah, I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, my thing with the Switch was probably like, I don't know, I think it was smaller than I thought it would be.
That's what she said.
But then it was... Yeah, but then it was also heavier than I thought it would be, which maybe she said that too.
It's kind of wide. It reminds me of like the Game Gear or the Atari Lynx, but not as cool as the Lynx.
Yeah, a lot like... Actually, I think it's way better than Lynx.
Well, obviously it's better than the Lynx, but... Well, actually...
Because the screen doesn't blur to nothing.
The Lynx was pretty cool, though.
Well,
yeah, for like, I mean, that was like, what, 1990-ish when that thing came out? Yeah. I mean, that thing was pretty badass back then.
Yeah, I owned
a
Lynx after, I think I bought a Lynx in 05. So it's not like I got one when it came out, but I really liked the games that were actually good for it is actually pretty good.
Atari Lynx was the first thing I ever bought off eBay when I was like 24, 25. Because, yeah, I was never able to have one when I was like 14 when it came out. So I was like, I'm going to buy one with money.
That was like the first thing I bought off Craigslist.
Was the Atari Lynx?
I had the Model 1. Did you have a Model 2?
I bought the Model 2.
Okay, so you had the portable edition of it.
Yeah, the one that didn't double as a skateboard.
Exactly.
I never had a Lynx, like, ever.
Mine's still kicking around here somewhere.
It's pretty, it's got like hardware scaling and rotation, and it can do what SNES and Genesis don't.
I always remember like seeing it in the
combined the like three different advertisement campaigns right there.
Oh, that's right, I Don Drapered it up.
Yeah, I always remembered seeing that thing in the gaming magazines and lusting after it when I was a kid, but I never got one, so...
Because I had a Game Boy Original, I think, in 93. I got one. But I had, like, the black, like, stereo edition.
Yeah, I had the true original Game Boy, like, the very first one that came out.
You remember how amazing it was? Because that was like the first thing that ever came out and had batteries included. That's pretty common now, but back then, nothing ever came with batteries.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, I can play Tetris, like, anywhere now.
Oh, yeah, the Game Boy was awesome.
Well, the killer app was Pokemon, in my opinion, so.
Yeah, but that was 8 years after it came out.
Much later.
Pokemon that's like Red and Blue.
That's how they brought Game Boy back from the grave.
Yep.
Yes, yep.
I still remember the Game Boy like TV ads that they had on TV, on like was it Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network. The big one was the Game Boy Pocket when that came out.
Yeah, the original Game Boy still stands as the only portable gaming system I ever bought. Like, I'm not going to count phones and tablets, like. True portable gaming system. That's the only one I ever had.
I had a DS Lite. That's pretty good. Oh, and I had a Nintendo Advance. Not the SP, just the regular Advance. I like that system a lot. That had a game called Advance Wars on it that was really good. That's a series I want them to bring back.
I had the Game Boy, the Lynx, the Nomad, the Neo Geo Pocket Color, a Nintendo DS, and I think that was the last one.
You ever get a you didn't get the Turbo Express?
Oh, yes, yeah, I did buy one of those. I actually sold it because I didn't play it enough. That thing was that had a TFT Active Matrix display in 1991, which is really ahead of
its time. So it actually had a decent display in it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously not by today's standards, but definitely compared to a Game Boy or a Lynx. Yeah, because it had a transistor on every pixel and it looked, well, it didn't smear.
Yeah, that was the...
Yeah, that thing was badass when it came out, but there just weren't any games really to play
for it. The Turbo Express could play all the same games that the home console could, but it also cost fortune. But I just...
How...
Yeah, I mean, it played all those, but it's like the TurboGrafx. It was like, who wants any of these games? I mean, they had a handful, but it was lagging way behind, you know, like the Segas and Nintendos of the world in terms of content.
Before I answer your battery comment, Parker, back in the early 90s, people made fun of the Lynx and the Game Gear and the Turbo Express because the batteries only last like 3 to 4 hours. But now you have all the Nintendo apologists saying, it's okay that the...
You're right.
Only lasts like 2 to 3 hours. That's okay. Even though battery life was one of the things that helped the Nintendo or the Game Boy win. The reason it got good battery life was because it had that crappy screen.
Yeah, and, underclocked processor and a bunch of other stuff. Well,
Switch did come out of the box half-charged, at least. That was nice.
I would say that the... I'll put it this way.
So we didn't have to plug it in.
I only removed my Switch from the dock once. And to play Zelda while going to the bathroom.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the most common use for the portable functionality, I would imagine.
I've actually never used the Joy-Cons unconnected. So.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to last. I mean, it's selling well now, but it's just...
It's the number one selling Nintendo console so far? In terms of fast...
But we were
seriously even faster than the
Wii. It's selling really fast. But remember, we were talking about earlier how the game Nintendo Classic sold almost as much. It turns out, and then Nintendo's like, "Well, we're canceling it because we want to concentrate on the future of our company." So, I really think that they were like, "Oh shit! If we don't take this thing off the shelf, it's going to sell more than the Switch, and that's going to be embarrassing."
But it's true, and Ben always harps on the it was like politics or whatever, which is actually possible. But the fact that Nintendo is coming out with a SNES Mini as well now, I don't know why they didn't just keep selling the. It might be, as Ben said, they don't want.
They should just artificially limit the supply of it, like they do all the frickin' time with shit. Yeah. So you know,
well, the thing is,
could have just done that.
that Nintendo Classic console, it was like a $20, you know, TV game system that they're selling for $60. It's like, isn't the point of a company to make as much money as possible? Like, well, I bet the ROM side loading had a big part to do with it. Like the fact that it was basically there was no way they could stop people from hacking it. That probably played a major factor.
I was actually thinking that would be more of a factor than internal politics because they're coming out with the SNES Mini and they might fix that issue or. Whatever processor they were using is end of life, and they just, you know, figured, you know, if they made, let's say they made another batch of what? How many did they sell, Ben?
Oh, actually, that reminds me, there another theory with the NES Classic was that it was intended to use up leftover Wii parts, like the controller ports and like one of the chips. That's another, and then once they ran out of parts, they just cut it off.
That's probably
more likely.
Sounds the most plausible, I would think. They were probably like, oh yeah, we can use up this shit, and then they didn't expect it to sell like gangbusters, and people wanted,
There's also ROMs on the NES that they don't own the rights to. It's just they had to license that out, and there might have been, they can only sell X units, and then after that, they don't have that right anymore.
Yeah, it's possible that some of the third parties saw how well they were selling and wanted to renegotiate the deal.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Parker,
of all those things too.
Right. If the SNES Mini comes out and it only has first party Nintendo games, that theory of yours will be proven true.
You heard it here first.
Yep. The BenHeck.com podcast, where we're always right.
Eventually. Yeah.
Well,
might take a few years, but
shall we move on to our third and final topic in the interest of keeping this episode a reasonable length?
Sure.
That's what she said.
Marvel movies, the Taco Bell of filmmaking.
What do you mean by that, Parker?
So it's basically because at Taco Bell, they basically have five different ingredients and they mix it different ways to make
their
different
products. horse meat, rat meat,
cheese.
Fake cheese.
Fake cheese.
And spice.
Spice and tortillas.
Some shells, yep.
And so they mix those in different sometimes ways, and that's how you get, like, I think they have like 40 different things on the menu, but they only have like 5 ingredients. Marvel movies are the same way. You have 5 different ingredients, and how you mix them gets the different movies.
5 ingredients? That seems like a lot. That's more than I would think. I would think more like 2 ingredients.
Yeah. 2. Pick a Marvel character and then 1 conflict, and that's it.
Well, the secret thing about movies is every movie is the same. They all follow the same plot line, which
well,
is
isn't there
the
like
myth.
6 different
7 like, original stories
according yeah, 7 to original stories. There you go.
Yeah. But still,
well, that's
I mean,
more ingredients than Taco Bell uses.
I don't know. I just I've watched like a lot of, you know, YouTube videos about movies, and I read articles about movies, and people just like bend over backwards praising Marvel and Disney in general, and it's like, why? I mean, do you praise Walmart or McDonald's for, you know, selling bland things and making good profits? I mean, nobody praises them. They're like, oh, they're destroying culture. They're destroying small towns. You know, this food sucks. But Marvel isn't too far off from that, and people just can't stop sucking their cock.
Well, I don't think Marvel, let's say, like, a Marvel movie takes away from an independent film in the regards
why
to
wouldn't
what
you're
it?
Saying. How, why wouldn't it? Because when all well, the money is being spent on
because
these mega
a family,
movies.
A family isn't going to go see a independent film they have no idea about. Anyways.
It takes money away from the production of other films.
Maybe.
Yes. And talent, potentially.
I could see the talent, yeah. But I don't see the money. Because isn't like Marvel basically bankroll everything? So it's not like Marvel's going to give money to, you know, Ben to make a movie.
Especially not.
I mean,
after
it's all coming out of Disney's. Yeah, it's all exactly. Coming out of Disney's pot, you know. And if you look at Disney, it's like, what does Disney do now? You know, it's like they make Star Wars movies, they make Marvel movies,
live action
remakes. Yep, and then they make their, you know, Pixar, and then kind of their regular animated.
Yeah, I could kind of see
that
them.
New Pixar movie coming out called Coco.
I guess they shit out a Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
I was just gonna say I could see Pirates of the Caribbean being done because why? Why bother?
Yeah, there's no point.
I'm like they already make so much bank. Off of, well, think about it. Like every year now, Disney releases 1 Disney film, 1 Pixar film, 2 Marvel movies, and a Star Wars movie. Oh, and 1 live action remake. And they're going to be doing that for like the next 6 years at least. And all those make mega bucks. So why bother making a $300 million Pirates of the Caribbean movie when you can just like spend $150 on like, you know, Aladdin meets Beauty and the Beast. The Revenge of Hunchback.
How many pirate movies are there? I think 2.
5 is the 5th one, right?
Yes, oh, it's the 5th one.
This new one will be the 5th.
Wait, is it going to be a Toy Story 4?
Of course.
2019, sure, apparently. Yeah.
I think Pixar really lost me with Toy Story 3. It should have ended in the dump.
Yeah. You should go see the trailer for this new Pixar movie. It's called Coco. It looks pretty
like
good.
A dog or something in it. It's like Day of the Dead or something.
Kind of, yeah. It looks really good. Go see the trailer. And actually, speaking of trailers, this new Aliens or Alien movie, was it Alien Covenant, whatever origin story bullshit?
Alien Promise.
Yeah, so it's got like 8 different trailers, and each one looks like a different movie.
Yeah, I can't say I'm really looking forward to
that. That's gonna be like a 6-hour movie given the trailer. Like, how are they gonna stitch all this different storyline crap together?
They've probably secretly shown you the whole movie, actually, with just the trailer.
you just
don't know it. You could edit it together and reveal the movie.
Yeah. It's like each one is like it's like different all the trailers are like they're different characters, it's a different plot line. It's a different motive of the trailer that the characters are trying to get through, and it's like, how is this going to be a single movie?
Yeah, well, I saw the trailer for that in front of, I think it was Logan, and it ends, and there's like an alien like holding onto the windshield of a spaceship, and it's like, oh, that's just a skinny guy in a suit, and it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't really care.
Tired of aliens, it's just like... look like people with shit taped to them.
Is that all of alien movies, Ben?
Well, all of anything. I think about Star Trek. It's like, ooh, look, here's a different race of people. They have a different piece of makeup applied to their forehead. Ooh, they're completely different from the other race.
Star Trek did that because it was a TV series and they had really low budgets.
They did it in the movie. Like, they had freaking Idris Elba in the last one and they just kind of, like, put a little mask on him, kind of, or whatever, like, to give him a
Yeah, why not hire
like,
someone
alien
hire
face.
Someone cheaper than Idris Elba if you're just going to slap a bunch of makeup on him?
So you're saying that
Ron
Star
Perlman
Wars...
all up in that grill.
So you're saying Star Wars aliens do it right?
They do it better than Star Trek.
Oh, way better. They at least look completely different.
People get too concerned, as a Star Wars fan, I think people get too concerned with aliens in Star Wars movies. Like, I don't know, I just remember when Force Awakens came out and they made this big deal, like, oh, we're gonna actually do puppets and blah 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 and this and that, and it's like, okay, fine, whatever. But you, like, watch the movie and there's, like, all these, like, kind of just stupid shots where it's like, oh, look, they just had to show that, oh, hey, we made a... another creature over here. Like, it provides no value to the movie.
They do that in the original trilogy too, so
it was mainly like the first movie when they go, everything's about that fucking cantina scene from the first movie.
You mean
other than that
four?
I mean, it's like, yes, there's aliens in the movies, but they like tie into stuff going on. It's not just like a throwaway
shot where it's like
oh look, there's like a couple of aliens.
Actually, yeah, in episode four they have the cantina shot, and
that's what all of this derives from then, because everybody's like, oh, remember that cantina
scene? And episode 6 did have the whole Jabba the Hutt stuff.
Yeah, but Jabba's, like, central to the fucking plot of the
it's
movie. Like,
B-roll.
He's a core component. Okay. It's not just like, oh, look, here, we made a scene just so we could show off a bunch of alien creatures.
Okay, you're right. Yep, yep.
And the thing that's funny with that cantina scene in the original movie is, if you ever, you've probably read about this, but it's like, they just used, like, shit they had laying around for a bunch of the characters in it, because they didn't have, you know, gobs of money. So it was just kind of, like, costumes and remnants from, like, other movies, and they just kind of, like, piecemealed shit together.
Yeah.
Then it became this iconic scene somehow,
like that wolf,
you know,
man, but... that, like, half-heartedly raises the cup to his face.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Speaking of some, like,
there's a few of those,
like, leftover stuff. Like, apparently, like, the scene in Alien where they're in the ship and they see all the eggs. Like, that's like a room where I can't remember where they recorded it, but that, like, they, like, abandoned that room and then someone opened it up like 30 years later and it was still like just like that.
Oh, are you thinking of
Aliens?
I think the second one.
Probably.
Because I think you're talking when they made Batman. Because
it was Batman. Yep.
Yeah, because when they had the Axis Chemical Factory, that was filmed in the same place where they filmed a lot of Aliens.
Yeah, yes. Basically they opened up a room, and it was full of these eggs, just exactly how they left it.
that's only years' time.
It's only a 3-year difference?
Yeah, between those movies.
Wow.
Aliens was 86, yep. Right? And then Batman was 89, of course.
There's a whole...
Batman was that early.
There's a whole world of abandoned movie sets. Like, there was an archaeological dig in California to try to dig up the 1920s silent version of the Ten Commandments. There's, like, an entire set under the sand.
Oh, I remember reading about that.
Or the... speaking of The Fugitive again... the train crash in that movie was real, and they just left all those trains. I think it's like West Virginia. There's like a section of train track, like an unused section. They crashed an entire real train, and then after the scene was done, they left them. Yeah, so you can go there and explore it.
Wow.
Yeah. And they just they're just still sitting there. Like, wow, how did they clean that up afterwards? They didn't. So what does this have to do with Marvel? Yeah, has a Marvel movie ever?
We got there from Disney, so yeah. But
have they ever crashed a train?
Just in a computer.
Yeah, in a freaking computer. I wonder how much they spent on that Fugitive movie. I bet they only spent like $30 or $40 million on it. $44 million. So a $44 million movie, they were able to crash a real train. But then we have like these $250 million movies and everything looks like CGI garbage.
Well, when was The Fugitive made?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, everything was really cheap in early 90s.
Like early 90s.
1990.
I said early 90s.
It was 93 to be exact, because that is my superpower.
But it's like, yeah, $44 million then, you know, budgetarily, I don't know, what would that be, like 150 today or something?
Well, you're talking like just inflation calculator or movie inflation calculator?
Movie inflation, yeah, exactly. Is probably more like 200 or something.
Well, it seems like it's leveled off, though.
Because in the early 90s, you could still crash a train, and you didn't have like all this like regulatory bullcrap to deal with. Whereas nowadays, you'd actually probably have to pick that train up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what third world country you crashed a train in.
Okay, I mean, 1, 2, 3. I don't think West Virginia is a third world country. No, oh, no, inflation calculator does not work with numbers that high. I'll just type in 44. Okay, brings it to, okay, so that's $75 million today, which is still, that would be a really cheap movie nowadays.
Yeah, that would be, so. Yeah, like, well, like Matrix Reloaded, if you ever watched the making of for that, it's like they actually made a section of freeway for that freeway chase at the end, like built it, and then they actually had like 200 some cars from GM.
Oh yeah, didn't they donate cars or something?
Yes, because it was didn't basically just use a cash shit ton of free advertising, and so there's.
That was before.
This was before that. Cashflow, yeah. So, but it was, but they actually like filmed it. You know, like, for real, where nowadays it'd be like, just, you know, film, like, 5 or 10 cars doing some shit, then we'll just, you know, fuck around in the computer a bunch, and...
It's amazing that that costs more than speaking of actually doing it.
Well, I think the reason that they like CG is because they can fix or change CG after the fact, whereas what you film is what you film. Because think about it, like, if you're making a movie and you're trying to set up some complicated effects, like you have super expensive actors, you have really expensive unions, you have a really fast schedule, you have the time of day, blah, blah, blah. All these things are ticking against the clock. Whereas if you're just like, okay, Robert Downey Jr., react to this tennis ball on a stick, and then you get someone in India to like sit there and paint in crap for hours on end. I really think that's one of the big reasons why physical effects have died. It's just because the movie, it's cheaper to do it. Actually, I think it's cheaper to do it in post, to be honest. Like, there's a whole thing you can read about the Thing reboot or prequel from 2011. They did that. It's actually not a bad movie, but they did that entire movie with practical effects, and then for whatever reason, the studio decided to paint over them with CGI for the final release. But you can read about all the effects that they did and like see the difference. And apparently they said, oh, this looks too much like an 80s movie. And that's one of the reasons they painted over it. Oh, the same thing happened with I Am Legend with Will Smith. They had zombie people, or they had actors for portraying all those monsters that he was fighting. Yeah. But then they're like, oh, this doesn't look convincing enough. And so at the last minute, again, they CGI'd over everything with a bunch of really fake looking monsters.
I guess they...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's well. Yeah, and the computer effects are one of those things too. I can't remember who the hell I was talking about it. I want to say William Goldman, but it wasn't William Goldman. But it was somebody in film, and they were talking about. Oh, it was De Palma. It's in that De Palma documentary, and he's talking about how all these big budget movies nowadays, like they all like look the same. You know, he's like all the shots are the same, and he's like it's fucking lame. It's boring, but it's because there's so much money tied up in it, and they basically. You know, farm this stuff out to these studios or whatever to like make these action scenes, and they've already got it kind of canned out of the box already. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of how the shots are going to be composed and all this. So it kind of ties back into the Marvel thing, basically. But yeah, he was talking about some of his older movies, you know, and some of the shots he did, you know, because he's very well known for his, you know, longer takes and just the cinematography of his films and. he was basically talking about, like, I could never make one of these big budget movies because you're so limited in your creative choices, because the track's already been kind of laid for you to some extent.
Speaking of tracks, there's entire scores of YouTube videos that explain why movie soundtracks have also gotten so bad. And it's because, well, not just that, but they actually do these comparisons, and they take clips from other movies, and they show how they basically copy the musical tracks. And what happens is the movies are made in such a rush, and the directors will cut a movie together and then temp it. They'll like put in temp music from like Requiem for a Dream or like Transformers or something, and then the composer, the scenes are edited to that temp music. So when the composer does the music for the actual movie, it actually takes on a lot of the same elements as the original music in order to fit the way it was cut. And it
makes sense.
Yeah, just look up like movie music all the same, and there's tons of examples, and it's like pretty startling, like just how it's because of the rampant use of temp music in the editing world. And by temp music, I mean they just use other movie soundtracks.
Yeah, it was interesting, like, again, with that De Palma documentary, which you should really watch if you haven't yet, because it's awesome.
What's it called?
But this is called De Palma.
I can remember that.
And it goes across the screen in giant letters at the beginning. It's awesome. But he had a great part in there where he talked about, like, early in his career, he, through whatever chance, he got Bernard Herrmann as his composer for some of his early movies. And I think Sisters was the one, because it was pre-Carrie, and he had temped in music from Psycho, which Bernard Herrmann scored, for people that don't know. He did a bunch of Hitchcock movies, and so he had it temped in, and Herrmann comes in to sit down and see the movie for the first time, and he hears the Psycho music come on, and he just throws his hands up in the air and yells, and he's like, stop, stop, cut. He's like, I can't hear it like this. And he had zero interest in hearing or seeing the movie with his temp score, because he knew it would dilute what he would create for the movie.
Yeah.
So it ties into what you're talking about with, you know, they get the movie with this temp score, it's been edited to it, but then they also hear it with that temp score, and it's obviously going to influence what they come up with.
Yeah, apparently it's, we got another reason movies are so cookie cutter these days.
Yeah.
That and Monomyth.
Yes, yeah. But never going to escape that one, I don't think. But
it's taken thousands of years.
Yeah, it's like so... And that's the thing, I mean, though, if you look at it as a business, I mean, I get why Marvel does it. It's like, well, they keep doing it and they keep printing money, you know? So it's like, well, why would you change?
I guess we can hope that just like... you know, craft brews have sprung up and challenged, like, the MBEVs of the world. Maybe eventually we'll get real movies again.
Not as the quantity what you're talking about. Like...
Yeah, they're still out there, you know, it's... You know, you get action movies like John Wick that come along, and it's like, okay, this movie kicks ass. You know, it's like a throwback.
Yeah.
What we liked when we were growing up, you know, and... It's like, yes, most of the action movies out there are trash,
you know, like,
but then you get these occasional things like that, or like Kingsman, you know, come along.
Oh, yeah, the sequel to that's coming out this summer, isn't it? Kingsman?
I think it's in the fall, actually, like September.
That was a really good movie.
Yeah.
This is the part where I say Matthew Vaughn should direct every movie. God, I wish he would have gotten...
He should have gotten him for Force Awakens.
Oh, my God, he would have done such a better job.
Remember, we were, like, clamoring for that back before they gave it to Abrams.
J.J. Abrams is a good filmmaker, but Matthew Vaughn is a great storyteller.
Yes, yes. Because, yeah, you look at, like, what he's done. He did, like, X-Men First Class, which was kind of, like, analogous to what they were doing with Force Awakens. It's like, you want this new group to come in.
I think Stardust would be the best example of why he should make a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, like, what they were trying to do with Force Awakens, it's like, we're going to bring in this new group, and they're going to have the old crew there, and it's kind of the handoff movie. I mean, that's what X-Men First Class was kind of intended to be a
If you look at Kingsman, which is a really good movie if anyone hasn't seen it, it's basically a fairy tale. Like, the kid has, like, he doesn't have a wicked stepmother, he's got a wicked stepfather, and then he gets spirited away, and there's a mentor, and he even saves a princess in the end.
Yep.
I mean, Matthew Vaughn does a really good job by taking those pretty basic archetypes and, you know, making a cracking good yarn out of it. But sadly, we will never get to see, I don't think we'll get to see a Matthew Vaughn Star Wars movie, but we will see a Colin Trevorrow Star Wars movie. I'm going to go to The Last Jedi or whatever it's called, but if it's just Empire Strikes Back, I'm done. I'm done.
I'm sure that's what it's going to be. They're going to be like, but it's Empire Strikes Back times two, because you're going to see Kylo Ren getting trained and Rey getting trained instead of just seeing Luke get trained.
This Frozen movie, it has two princesses instead of one.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're gonna. That's how they're gonna be like, oh, this is
and
great.
Then,
it's
and
different.
Then it's gonna be John Boyega and Apocalypse, you know, running from the First Empire, you know. So that'll be the.
Oh, this way, if yep. it's they still call it the Rebellion in the last Jedi. It's
why is this
a new government?
There's a new government.
You just crushed the last, or not the last of, but you just crushed the rising of the Empire again. It's like,
well, they're not.
Why are they called the
Resistance?
Rebellion?
They're called the Resistance.
This should be the what the new Republic.
Yeah, I agree because they're supposedly in charge.
Oh, didn't that new super Death Star blow up the? No, they didn't blow up Coruscant. Like, they blew up some rando planet, so I assume that the Republic is still in one piece.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense because apparently they were already resisting.
So if anything,
before that
the
happened.
Last Order is
but they were like, they would be the... Yes. Okay, here's another question. Like, if the Last Order or the First Order is a remnant of the Empire, if they're a remnant of the Empire, how do they have the resources to build something like 50 times more complex than the Death Star?
It was already in construction.
Right? It's like
Snoke's like just really rich.
It's like,
and, you know,
it's like if ISIS had a better air force than Israel. It doesn't make any goddamn sense. So, do they control a lot of planets, and do they tax the planets? Like, where does their money come from? I mean, it. You know, like an empire,
there's got to be some rich guy that joined up. With
I mean, think about it. But you'd have to be awfully rich because, like, if you took like Bill Gates or some sheik in Arabia and said, "Okay, you have to fund an entire government," they couldn't even do it.
Well,
I
if
mean,
the
how
empire,
rich would you have to be?
The Empire owned the entire galaxy, so you know they were basically
basically
get to hollow out
strip mining
now.
Entire planets of stuff.
What? What did they do with the stuff they took out of that planet? Where did they put it? Did they make another planet with it?
Oh,
how
I
did
have
the
no
planet
idea.
Still keep orbiting properly?
We actually talked about that on another podcast.
I mean, did,
also, like, science.
Did the planet have a molten core?
That's actually a good question. Didn't even think about that one. Or does it need one? I mean, Mars doesn't.
Well, actually, Mars doesn't have a molten core. But it also cannot deflect radiation.
Yeah, but remember in Star Wars, they kind of solve that issue by almost having infinite energy. You don't have brownouts in Star Wars. Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, the Millennium Falcon does all the time.
that's union wires.
I just
man.
Didn't understand. I didn't understand the concept of the First Order. It just didn't make sense. It's like they just wanted to bring the Empire back.
But
that's what J.J. Abrams does. As soon as logic gets in the way of story, he throws logic out
the window. First Order already existed in previous canon. Yeah. So it's not like J.J. made it up.
It didn't exist. They wrote it into these stupid books that they've shit out, but it's like, to me, it's like, I always enjoyed the old expanded universe, and I know that, you know, that's not, it never really was canon. Everybody got all flipped out on that, but it's, you know, Disney just made it official that it really wasn't canon. But then they've made these new books and stuff that are canon. But my argument is I shouldn't have to go and read a fucking book to fill in the gaps for these movies. It's like they can like flesh things out a bit more in the books if they want, but they shouldn't go and create this whole thing in the books and it just shows up in the movies.
I think,
'cause these started as movies.
Right.
They're the core.
I
it's like things
that
can shoot off from that. So
I think the big problem was, you know, the expansion novels that they had back in the day, you know, those took place after Return of the Jedi. But with this new movie, they have to explain why 30 years has passed just to include Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher. And I think that just causes a storytelling problem, which requires them to take big leaps of logic. And it also just doesn't make any sense. I mean, like,
that's what that's
the First Order, like,
math series of,
like, where is the Republic's army? Like, shouldn't the Republic have a really good army? Why do they have a ragtag bunch of people on the same?
Or why? Yeah, why does their
doesn't make any sense?
Why does it look the same as in Return of the Jedi? I would agree with that. Why don't they have Star Destroyers?
Yes, exactly. Again, it'd be like, oh, let's say there was a rogue nation like Somalia or something,
or North Korea.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, let's say North Korea had all these giant battleships and all these amazing things. Like, where did they get the money for it? I mean, who are they taxing? Where is it coming from? And the only people that can stop this fleet of North Korean battleships is a ragtag group of Americans. We don't send the military. We'd send a ragtag group of people with a few ships because it's more interesting. Yeah. I mean, because you think about it, like, you just see a couple X-Wings, like, fly in and save, John Boyega.
Yep.
Doesn't, like, when you in the prequel movies, when you saw the Republic turn into an empire, that made sense. Like, everything had a logical progression, and it made sense. But now we have this huge leap of logic where this huge force apparently comes out of the same remnants of government. And, like, did they capture, like, a gold planet or something? Like, again, how did they fund it?
Well, the thing to me is that, like, the problem they have is that, yeah, they didn't make any of these movies for 30 years. So they have to, like, explain all this shit, because the stuff that would have been really interesting would have happened right after Jedi, because it's
which is, like, the last big battle of the proper empire.
It's just, like,
that'd be cool.
Well, I mean, just think about it. It's like you get to the end of Jedi. It's like, okay, you've got this ragtag rebellion, whatever. And it's like, okay, yep, they take out a Death Star again. End of the Emperor's gone and Vader's dead. And it's like,
they still have a lot of work to do.
There's still a lot left to be done. There's still going to be, like, and this was stuff that happened in the Extended Universe novels, like the Thrawn books and stuff, as it's like, well, Thrawn was like this Grand Admiral in the Imperial Navy and all that. And, you know, like you said, the Empire spanned, like, the galaxy, so it's like, okay, well, the Emperor's gone, and Vader's gone, and we lost a Death Star. It's not like they just, you know, folded up shop and went home. You know, it's like there was, like, all kinds of power grabs going on. The New Republic did form, but they had a shit ton of work to do. It's not just, like,
the Senate just reopened,
and everything was, you know, happy times.
Unmothballed the Senate?
Yeah, but
yeah, you know. Yeah, so it's like, but, you know, of course you don't get to show that in the movies because, oh, we have to have Luke and Han and Leia and all this shit show up. And, you
don't
know,
make that a Star
so
Wars anthology.
You know, you don't get to see
movie.
That.
I've seen people suggest that that Force Awakens are, yes, I've seen people suggest that Force Awakens actually needed some space politics. You know, heaven forbid, just to explain what the hell was going on. Well, the first Star Wars movie had some space politics, you know, like, oh, we dissolved the Senate, you know, that comes up.
Yeah.
But, like, Force Awakens just goes out of its way to not explain any of that, and it's poorer for it.
I think J.J. did it so it would not be anything like the prequels. To a fault.
To a fault.
Yeah, it was the first movie
Disney built with the license, and how much money did they spend on the license?
It had to be absolutely
so
as
it's understandable,
as possible,
but it suffered because of it.
But at the same time, I was talking to somebody at work like a week or so ago about this. I'm like, people sit there and piss and moan about the prequels and blah, 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 and it's like bullshit. It's like, all three of those printed money. It's like, if people truly hated them like they claim they did, it's like, why didn't, like,
Exactly.
Three just make no money at all.
Oh, like the you third know? Matrix movie.
Yeah, you know, because, yeah, that one fell off a cliff mm-hmm. after two. Yeah. And but it's like, nope, people kept going. Like, three made more than Attack of the Clones did, and I think altogether, I think it may have made about the same as Phantom Menace did, or maybe more, but it's like, you people are full of shit. You know, and it's like, Disney could have put out whatever the fuck they wanted with Star Wars on it, and if it, you know, had...
People would have shown up, and then as long as it was good, they would have kept going.
Exactly. It's like, it doesn't matter. You throw Star Wars on it, print money. Yep. So, that's why I understand, yeah, they went safe as they could, but You're it's like, right. they didn't need to. I am. I know I am on this one. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's like, people will go.
All right. Well, I guess that kind of ties back to the Battlefront 2 topic, so that's good.
Yeah, we kind of skimmed the Marvel thing.
Yeah, well, but it turned into more of a Hollywood movies. The Taco Bell of filmmaking.
Yeah. Marvel's just a...
Well, it's the easiest one to point out.
That because, of course, they're the... Kind of the big engine driving a lot, because people see the success they have and they want to emulate it, you know, so.
Yep, now we're...
That's the thing, at least. I'll be curious to see what that Wonder Woman movie's like, because, you know, DC so far, they've been kind of, you know, trying to forge their own path with, you know, mixed results, obviously, but at least they're trying some shit.
Mixed results? That's putting it generously.
Well, Man of Steel did pretty well, I think, and, Batman vs. Superman did pretty good. You know, it didn't make over $1 billion like they hoped, but then Suicide Squad was a complete fucking mess, and that made way more money than it had any right to, so... I mean, they're not making Marvel money, obviously, but...
Yeah.
They're not making complete failures as, you know, financially, anyway, but... It'll be interesting to see how Wonder Woman turns out. It looks good from everything I've seen.
Yeah,
so
they
far.
Should have some Wonder Woman downloadable content for Battlefield 1. That'd be cool.
That would be pretty badass.
Yeah, maybe I'll go see that because it's World War I, so.
That would be pretty cool because they have the whole, like, you know, change the tide of the battle. Like, if you're way behind, but instead of having, like, a Zeppelin show
like
up,
a
like,
hero.
Wonder Woman comes,
oh my
like, cruising
God, that
in.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. She starts, like, fucking shit up. It'd be awesome. Like,
a Wonder Woman kit has been located.
And then it could have the music kick in, like, her, like, awesome, like, guitar riff track, like, kicks in when she shows up on the battlefield. Well, that would be awesome. I would play Battlefield 1 again if they did that.
There you go, DICE. Get us some Wonder Woman.
And you'll get
Wonder
one
Woman
more
super,
player.
Superhero.
But play again.
Right. That would be
crazy. Well, I'd rather see Wonder Woman punch, you know, people in a trench than see Ant-Man punch aliens.
Didn't he punch
whatever
atoms?
Whatever going to happen in Infinity War.
Or molecules?
I think so. He punched some things.
There's the Pym particle.
Apparently, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 has a young Kurt Russell flashback because they can.
Yeah, because they did it with Downey and.
However,
and Kurt Russell, I guess, not Kurt Russell. They did it with Michael Douglas and Ant-Man.
I'm liking all the Kurt Russell we're getting lately.
That is
we
cool.
need more of it.
Can never have enough Kurt Russell. So.
Kurt Russell should... Every movie should be directed by Matthew Vaughn and have Kurt Russell in it.
That would be pretty awesome.
Wow. Oh, has there ever been
a Kingsman 3?
Has there ever been a Kurt Russell, Jeff Bridges movie?
That's like had to have happened. Right?
That sounds like you need to make a Kurt Russell pinball machine.
That Oracle of Bacon thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait, who's the dude? That's Jeff Bridges, right? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, him. Oh, wait. Wait, he was in the Marvel Universe. Wait, everyone's in the Marvel Universe. I'm so confused.
Okay, I'm searching for Jeff Bridges and Kurt Russell movie. It's had to have happened.
That seems like it would probably be the best movie ever made.
Oh, shit. Or wait, no. Thinking the contender, but no, he Bridges was in that, but Russell
wasn't. Yeah, because then Kurt Russell was in Tombstone, and then Jeff Bridges was in, what was it, True Grit? Yeah, so it's that should be.
We should totally do a. I wonder if we could do a Kurt Russell pinball machine. Like, I wonder how much license. You'd probably have to license all this shit.
A lot of people on Pinside say they want a
Big Escape from New York China would be a pretty good pinball machine.
I actually don't like his 19. After I don't. His movies after. I don't like Escape from New York or Big Trouble in Little China. There, you guys can stop listening to the podcast.
You gotta sign us out then.
I've never cared for. I think Escape from New York I found all right, but I only watched it once. But I've never understood the allure of Big Trouble in Little China. Like, just never did anything.
For his best Carpenter film was The Thing. Well, it seems like we actually stayed on track pretty good for this podcast.
Yeah.
I would say slightly.
Yeah, the only one was the Battlefront 2 topic, but we eventually circled around.
That was quite the podcast. Let us know what you think in the comments below, and we'll see you next
month. Later, everyone.
Adios.